Blog Talk Radio. Today is Tuesday, December 7th, 2021, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Tuesday, people. Happy Tuesday, blessings. In fact, happy Tuesday, blessings and favor. Yes, yes, I claim it for you and me and all of us. Blessings and favor. May God's goodness, mercy, love, blessings and favor go before us and behind us and all over us all the days of our lives. Doesn't that sound good? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, I borrowed some of that from the Bible, of course you know. But let me tell you why it's important to make these confessions regularly and on a daily basis. Let me tell you, just listen. I had a situation occur early this morning that required some immediate and quick attention, and one of the people involved in this that I'm calling a situation said, you know, things just happen, and they happen so unexpectedly in life sometimes. And I laughed. I said, girl, you do not have to tell me this. I know you are preaching to the choir. So anyway, we worked on the matter, the situation, and the resolve. But I don't want you to miss some of my important points here. I have learned to go into a prayerful wisdom place when things happen. I lean in it. I lean into it rather than letting emotions rule, because emotions will rise when stuff happens, but we can find ourselves deeper into a situation if we let them rule. You hear me? Emotions can run you into all kinds of trouble. They can be good, of course. Those good ones, they're goody-goody. But when they are not good, they are not your friend. You better hear what I'm saying. They can be an enemy. Anyway, I said all that to say, here's what I want you to take away, that I had to stay in control to control what the most positive, acceptable, and right outcome needed to be. I'm going to repeat that for you. I had to stay in control to control what the most positive, acceptable, and right outcome needed to be. You know, sometimes it's not what you think or want or whatever, but what it needed to be. Now, I know that's a word for somebody today. So you can just run with it and say amen. I hope it was encouraging. An encouraging word. But listen, I don't own the market on encouragement. I just use some platforms. But I'm talking to someone today who truly has the encouraging touch. She is Tiffany Booker James, and she is making a dynamic imprint on the lives of those she touches. She has a message that is life changing. She has methods that will move you into your next levels of life and living. She has the motivation and the momentum that has created a place in the ranks of notable, successful authors and speakers. Yeah, and she is my Foxology guest. Yes, she is in the spotlight today. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. And I'm already encouraged.
I'm glad to have you. Well, you know, that's a blessing if I can encourage you.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Well, I am, as I said, I'm really excited to talk to you today, because this, I'm telling you, this is a lane I love being in. And if I can get in that lane with you for a few minutes and share you with an audience, you know, I'm just really thrilled. So thank you so much for being with me today. I love your website. It is so wonderful,
you.
So dynamic looking, and so professional, so polished. I just love just browsing through looking at it. You mentioned something about everybody having a story, and so I'm going to start with that with you, Tiffany, because I know you have one. You know, we often have had, you know, had to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps or some other kind of something going on. So I'll just let you tell us what your start was and how you got to be the Tiffany Booker James.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me. And so funny you say about my website, but I actually created my website when I was working with the builder. I kept telling her, I need this website to be exactly who I am, an encouragement. I want everyone, mm-hmm. when they come here, it doesn't matter if they purchase anything. It doesn't matter if they book me. I just want them to leave encouraged. So the whole website was built to encourage people no matter what happens, whether or not they do anything else. When they get out that website, they will be encouraged. But a little bit about my
you
story.
You got that done because you got that done. I'm just going to say that because it does. You get the feel. If that's what your motivation was, you definitely feel it when you go through it. Awesome. Okay. Tell us what's up with you.
A little bit about me. I'm from Chi-Town, born and raised. I currently live in California, Northern California right now, but my start was in California on the south side. And I was a little girl that struggled with my identity most of my life, just like many others. And, you know, sometimes there are just things that have happened in our childhood that kind of changed the course of our lives, and it kind of defines us a little bit, what we think it does. And so for me, I was the girl that I was the darkest one in my family. And so I was actually called a lot of names, and at the time it was out of love. But I was already a little girl who just didn't know who I was, didn't really fit in anywhere, even at school. I was very kind. That was something, especially, you know, growing up in the south side of Chicago, being kind was not something that was celebrated. And so I was getting judged at school, being called names at school, and then when I came home, even though the words that my family members would use were like terms of endearment for them, for me, they were branding me. And I would get called Blackie because, again, I was the darkest out of my family, and I would get called Blackie, Raisin Bran, names like that. I had an uncle that called me Chocolate Chip and another uncle that called me Rat. And, again, they were all these little cute, they would say it in cute ways, and it would be like their little terms of endearment. But for this little chocolate girl who had thick, coarse hair, who was being teased at school, who didn't feel loved in our home, those words began to brand me. And I lost myself. I guess I can say that I never really got an opportunity to embrace the beauty of how God created me. I was different, and I knew I was different from a young age, but I felt different was something negative, that it was bad. I didn't see different as being unique and being set apart. And so I struggled, and I mean from a child into my teenage years, which caused me to look for love in all the wrong places, which caused me to become, I think, a gang member by the age of 16, if I'm not mistaken. Dated a gang member. But it was so funny, sis. I would like to say this. Who God has created you to be and what he has placed in you, I'm telling you, that calling is relentless. Because even when I was in a gang, I would be helping the other gang members. You know, we would call them our sisters, but the other gang members, I would be preaching to them. I started a group within the gang, a small group in the gang of sisters just trying to, they were called the NBA, but just trying to keep young girls to respect themselves. I remember we would have to jump people into the gang, and I would go home and cry. it was not my life. Who I was just speaking to me over and over again. That voice, that inner voice, was so relentless for me. And I think probably about the age of 17 or 18. Look, I'm 47 now, sis, so I'm trying to think back. But I think about this age of 17, I got the courage to move to California. My auntie was here. And within the first 6 months I was here, I think I started back doing the same thing. I was attracting the wrong people, because if you don't know who you are, then other people will come and define you. And so I always attracted to people that would tell me who I was, because I didn't know who I was. So I just allowed people to define me. And because I didn't see myself as valuable, I did not connect with people who saw themselves as valuable either. And so when that old saying, misery loves company, I was attracting all of that. And I found myself just making very bad decisions in my life. And it was an interruption, and what the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for good, because I was in a head-on collision. And I fractured my pelvic bone, had to learn how to walk all over again, had to go back home to Chicago, back into the same environment again. And I was just tired, sis. And one thing I knew to do, because my parents taught me, is to cry out. To cry out to God. I don't know how I knew that he heard me, but I would always just talk to him. I would be in my room and I would just talk to him. I would sing to him, and I knew he heard me, and I knew that he was going to change the trajectory of my life. I just didn't know how. And so I just kept praying, and I just kept crying out. And when I couldn't pray, I cried. And when I couldn't cry, I prayed. And even though I kept making bad decisions, I kept calling out to God. And he was so relentless for me. And he kept ordering my steps. And I returned back to California at 21, and I was pregnant. And that's when God got a hold of me. And there was a man by the name of Robert Smith. I'll never forget. He was picking up a neighbor across the street from where I was staying, and he invited me to church, and I went, and I had never heard of the prophetic before. And the pastor there, Dr. Irene Houston, looked me in my face, and she said, "I have a word for you." She said, "What you're about to do is not going to work for you." She said, "But God said, if you give it up today, you can have it all." And I just dropped, and tears just ran down my face, because I had, I was roommating with a young lady that was trying to teach me how to do check scams. And I called her that night, and I told her I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I told her, "You can keep all the phony birth certificates and everything that you were going to give me. And do you know, the next, I think it was the next day or the day after that, the ID and the phony birth certificate and all the things she had given me, this package that you can take to DMV to get a phony ID, she gave it to someone else and they got arrested. And I knew God had saved my life. And from there, I was sold out for God, because he showed himself to be so real in my life, and that he showed himself to be so relentless. That's the word that I always tell people. God is so relentless. He was relentless for me. And it changed my life. And I always, because I felt like I was in this journey by myself outside of God, I realized that for the rest of my life, I wanted to be other people's cheerleaders. For the rest of my life, I wanted to encourage people. For the rest of my life, I wanted to deposit hope into people. For the rest of my life, I wanted to give people courage. And encouragement is that it's oxygen to the soul. The root word of encouragement is courage. And you literally, when you have the gift of encouragement, you literally have this anointing to deposit courage inside of people to do that which they've been fearing to do. And I said, "God, thank you that you have entrusted me with this amazing gift. It's been there my whole life, and I never want anybody to feel the way I feel. I don't want anybody to ever feel like they have to walk in this world alone." And so that's my story in short. I tried to do it real short because it's a long story, but I know we only got a short time.
Well, I appreciate you sharing what you have, because you definitely told enough that I feel the people who, if they didn't hear anything else that we have to say today, that's enough to lift anybody's spirit and help them see that life can be better and brighter for them. That's really awesome. It really is. You said something I'd like for you to expound on, about the root word of encouragement is courage, and how depositing courage really is, you know, it'll spend life for you. Is that the main message that you take out into the world when you speak to people? I'd like to know you're very charismatic and captivating. I can tell by listening to you, of course, but when you get on that stage, you're talking to hundreds or maybe thousands of people that you don't know, and you know what it takes. You've done it enough to know what it takes. What's that main theme that comes forth?
The main thing is that they're seen and that I care. You know, I don't want to be, you know, back when I first started, because I was still learning, I'm going to be honest with you, because I want to help other people, but I somehow had lost, once you start getting on stage, I at somewhere along the way, I started to operate in performance and instead of purpose. And I had ask God to realign me. Yes. And sometimes it comes up and you don't even realize it. But one day I realized something, that I stopped seeing the person that was in front of me. And when I go on stage, I always want to look into the audience's eyes. And my motivation is them. My motivation is love. My motivation is that I don't want anyone to leave here and not be inspired, not to have hope. So when I'm standing on that stage, I want to first let them know that I'm not just performing. I'm not just here to perform or entertain. And when I get off that stage, that I never think about them again, that they are in front of me, that they're actually my motivation. They are my passion, that I really do care, that I really do pray before I go on stage and ask God, who's ever in the room, you know how to take my words and you know how to speak to them because you created them. And you know how to take something I said and deposit it into them and encourage them. So my main motivation, even though the root word is courage, and I do believe that I do deposit courage into people to believe in themselves, to go after their dreams, but me standing on that stage is love. That's love. Mm-hmm. For me, love makes the world go around. Like, we can't do anything without that. So on that stage, that's my motivation, for God is love. And if one person leaves there feeling love, feeling seen, feel like, even if they don't feel seen by me, that they know that God ordered them their steps, and they leave there feeling like God loves me so much because I needed this, and he ordered my steps to be in the room. And I always tell people, you're not just welcomed in the room, you belong in the room. And I want people to know they belong there. Every room they step into, that they are special.
Yes. Tiffany, I want to talk about what you said, though, in the beginning, it just as an aside, because we are in such a performance-oriented society, and I have seen even posts come through Facebook that says you don't really have to be an expert, you just need to know how to present something. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that might be the case, depending on what you're talking about, you know, but I just want to say you to say a few words. Let's chat for just a couple of minutes about that, because even recently, one of my favorite people I was watching on TV, and I'm almost, I feel so terrible to have to say it, but I, in the middle of it, I had to turn it off, because I sensed a need to, not myself, but a need in that individual to embrace the audience in a way that wasn't because of what I'm saying, but how I'm saying it, you know, and I've seen that with quite a few people. And I'm not saying this to be critical, because we're all just trying to do our thing and be a blessing and prayerfully get blessed back in the way we get that favor from God. But how did you, what was your experience? That's probably the best way to get this out there, between purpose and performance. What alerted you? What was the alert that said you need to not do this way? You know, you're talking to people who I expect you to change their lives. They're not there to see you put on a show.
Well, what alerted me to know that that's what I was actually doing is because when I first started, I was so grateful just to get an opportunity to do exactly what I felt like God was calling me to do, but also just, again, just so passionate about not wanting anybody to ever feel the way I felt growing up. And what alerted me was that when I would get off the stage when I first started, I would be so overwhelmed and just asking God, like, I just pray that someone was touched. I just pray that someone was encouraged. I just pray that someone is leaving here knowing who you created them to be. But then something happened, and I only thing I can tell you, sis, that it was the Holy Spirit that brought it to my attention, that when I got off stage, I started worried about what people were saying about me. I started worried about the feedback. My focus shifted. I started worried about, did people post something about me? Did they say it was good? I started worried about, did anybody capture it so that they can post it? And so I started worried about, okay, like, what are people saying? So I was more concerned about the affirmation than the people in front of me. And I wanted to be, so I was reverting back to back before God told me and revealed to me and affirmed that this is what he had called me to do. I was going back to, I needed affirmation. I needed someone to say that what you're doing is great, that you're powerful, that you're anointed. And that became my focus and my drive. And so I started to perform and polish myself, and I was no longer motivated by the people anymore, no more motivated by love, I was no longer motivated by, God, there's someone in that audience that feels like giving up, and I don't want to miss them. And when you perform, people walk away and they feel good for the moment. But when you walk in your purpose, and you really release what God has given you to the people, it is transformative. You know, that scripture that says some sow a seed, some water a seed, but God is the one that makes it grow. And so I want to make sure that I'm either sowing a seed or watering a seed. But when we're performing, all we're doing is projecting self to people. And so when they leave, they might be, you know, entertained for the moment, and they might even have a moment where they feel pretty good, but then they leave out and they still empty. And I want to deposit something. I don't want people to leave empty, especially if they came to a place that God has ordered their steps to be encouraged. We don't know who's sitting in the audience. We don't know if there's someone who is suicidal. We don't know if someone has been praying for their child. We don't know if someone's marriage is on the brink. We don't know if someone's struggling financially. And those are the things that I have to keep in the forefront of my mind. And I pray that God always pins me in on every side, that my foot don't slip and that I never go back to a place of performance ever again.
Well, I'm so glad you explained it all that way, because what I wanted anybody listening to get out of that is how important purpose is over all these other ideals that we have in our mind about why we need to be doing something, not just what you do. Purpose, especially calling, is so critical to understand. You don't need not one person to tell you you did okay or good or wonderful when you understand your purpose. So that was one of the major reasons I wanted you to elaborate on that. And thank you. You did a beautiful, beautiful job on that. Listen, there are a couple of people who are on the screen that I want to just tap in and see if they're only listening or if they have a comment or question for you.
Okay.
Hi there. This is Foxology. Did you have something you wanted to share? Okay, I think that person's just wanting to listen. Hi there, this is Foxology. Did you have something you'd like to share?
Foxology.
Yes. Okay, they decided they wanted to just listen too. Okay. All right, Tiffany, let's move on a little bit. I wanted to know this. This was my next question on the list. Can you just share with us a couple or a few helpful steps that people can take? I know you can't give your long teaching. You know, we're in a space and place in life right now. So many of us, I see this thing with this whole pandemic, this invisible demon, has really had an effect on people's emotions and their minds and their how they do life. And there's a real big need for some encouraging words, some words of help and words of hope. And I'm just wondering, could you share two or three things that might help move them to a better place?
Yes. A few things, especially during this pandemic, is embracing the moment, the gift of being present. I think COVID helped us slow down a little bit so that we can see. I think we were moving very fast. And even though God is not behind COVID, he uses all things. And so I would say, one, seize this opportunity as things are slowed down to just accept the gift of being present with your emotions, being present with the dreams and the visions and the calling, everything that God has given you or shown you or spoken over you, be present. Right now, I think being present is such a gift, and I think sometimes we're not even present in our emotions. We're not even present in where we are in life right now. So I think being present is a gift because it raises awareness to what we have to do next. The other thing I think is huge, I don't care who we are, whether you are a believer or not a believer, I think we never give ourselves an opportunity to grieve. And a lot of times when we grieve, we only relate grieving to when we lose a loved one. But we get to grieve anything that once was that is no longer. And a lot of times we're going through the five stages of grief, and we don't even realize it. And we're thinking something is wrong with us, and the enemy makes us feel double-minded because we are angry. We might feel angry. We might feel sorrow, discouragement, all the, you know, they use depression, but sorrow, discouragement, depression. You go through the denial. You're going through all of these emotions, and the enemy will make you feel like you're double-minded. Or you feel like you're double-minded, even if we don't have to give the enemy any credit. But sometimes you just feel like you're crazy. But the reality is you might be grieving. And so when you're present and then you receive that gift of being present in the moment, and there are some things that once was that is no longer, whether you lost a job during this pandemic, whether it is that finances are not like you expect them to be, whether it's because relationships are being tested right now, whether it is that you've been waiting on promises for so long and they look like they have not come to pass, or the time has, like, you're like, okay, God, have I missed it? Have I missed the mark? The time has passed. I'm getting older. Take a moment to sit with God and grieve. Really, really give your emotions, that you talked about that earlier. They can't be trusted. They're not our guide, but our emotions are our gauge. They let us know that something is there. We can't depend on them. We can't let them guide us, but we can also give them to God. And so give yourself permission to grieve. A lot of times we just want to put on a happy face and put on a mask and say everything is okay. But on the inside, we're broken, and on the inside, we're going through so many things. And we don't never just sit with God and say, this is who I am. This is where I'm at in my rawness. Like, I want to be raw about it, God. and we get to come to him just as we are. And I talk to God just like he's my daddy. He's my Abba. And I tell him everything when I'm sad, when I'm broken, when, okay, it seems like a promise that you've spoken over my life has not come to pass. I don't want to just put on a mask and say, I trust you. I want to tell you that maybe I'm struggling in my faith. And you said when I'm faithless, you're faithful. So give yourself permission to grieve. Three, surround yourself around people who are safe. I have a group of ladies, and they are my safe space where I can be raw, where I can pour out, and then they will encourage me. I can be raw and pour out everything that I'm going through and then allow them to give me wisdom, allow them to encourage me, because sometimes the encourager needs to be encouraged, you know. So I just would say surround yourself around people that know God, has his heart, has his spirit, that can pour into you, that can encourage you, that can lift you up, that can speak truth in love, and that they are a safe place for you. So those will be the three things that I would say in short. Like you said, I can't go through everything, but I think that those three things are very critical: to be present in the moment, to acknowledge where you are, to allow yourself to grieve if you need to grieve, and the last thing is to surround yourself around people who are safe and can pour into you. And of course, first and foremost, getting your word, worship. When I can't silence my thoughts, I put on my worship, and I just lay out and allow that worship to wash over me and encourage me.
Yes, yes. Well, that certainly is, I know that probably sounds like a big project for some people, but I know that I can say like you, it's very doable. And if you practice that, you really can find yourself lifting yourself up and moving yourself into a better place. That's great. Thank you. Now, I want you to tell a few perks, some other things people need to know about you, and that is that you do classes, you're available for coaching, you've got books, and so just take your time, as much time as you would like, to tell us all about what you have to offer and how people can reach out.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, of course, my website, which is www.encouragingtouch.com. I say that because there are free downloads on there as well where you can be encouraged. I have because they do storytelling and spoken words, so I have a free download on there that anybody can go on and just put in their email address, and it's free. I also have a free workshop about redefining greatness, because we come from greatness, so we can't help but be great. And I want people to own their greatness, that there are seeds of greatness in all of us. So that's also free on my website. You can also go on there. I do speak. I do storytelling. I do customized pieces. And so you can go on my website and book me. But I also do encouragement coaching, and I also do writing coaching. And my writing coaching is a little bit different. It's not about editing, but it's about helping people find their voice and get their story out there. And so I do content editing. I help people, you know, with their titles of their books, chapters, organizing their chapters. But more than anything is finding your writer's voice. What is it? What is your message? Who are you trying to reach? And then, of course, the encouraging coaching, I love it. It's customized by depending on where people are in their life. And so I don't do a cookie-cutter package. I meet with them, and you can go on my website and get a 30-minute free consultation. But I sit with people because I want to make sure that we are a fit. I'm not just about trying to make money. I'm trying to make a difference and change people's lives. And with the encouragement coaching, I just truly believe that we can't reach our destiny if we don't know our identity. And so that's the core of it, is just really helping people find their voice, whether it's in the writing or whether it's even in the encouragement coaching. And that's what I love to do. And so they can go on my website. You know, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram. And yes, and I'm here if you ever need anything. And my phone number is on there, and I mean what I say. If anybody just needs to pick up the phone because they are discouraged or they're having a hard time, Everyone who knows me know that I'm when I say you can pick up the phone and call me, even if you are a stranger, because we're really not a stranger. We're all related. We're all sisters and brothers. Then you can pick up the phone, and I will be right there to encourage you.
Well, I'll tell you what, you have blessed my day and blessing having you as a guest, and thank you for all that you have shared today and inspiration that you brought to the platform, because it's what I love as well, and you have really, really been a blessing. I appreciate you so much, and I definitely would love to have you back again at some point and with some more sharing. And did you mention your book? You didn't.
Oh, I'm so – yeah, no, I didn't. You know, I was just thinking about how can I encourage before I get off the phone. That's what I was thinking about, I promise you. Like, I was like, can I do a poem or anything? I just want to encourage people. But I do have a book called Living in the Land. I do have a book called Living in the Land of I Am. It is an amazing book. It takes you on a journey of self-discovery. I'm very authentic in the book, very vulnerable, sharing some of my struggles because I believe our mess becomes our message. And I want to be vulnerable because I want other people to realize that it doesn't matter what mistakes you've made in life, that what God has started in you, He's faithful to finish in you, and that those mistakes don't define you. And so I'm really transparent in the book about things that I've gone through in my life, and it takes you on a journey. It's, each chapter starts with an inspirational piece or a poem. So it's a very creative book, and it's very fun, but I promise you, you can't end that book and walk away the same. And so you can also get that on my website or on Amazon as well.
Great. Well, let's hear that encouragement that you'd like to leave us with.
Well, there's
whatever
a, this
for
was,
you too.
Thank you. This was my first piece I ever did, and it was called Life. And I just wanted to let you know, I went to the International Poet Society, and I did this piece, and I didn't win. But so many women came up to me afterwards and was telling me their story after I did this piece. So it's one of my favorite pieces, and it's one of the first pieces that I wrote when I first started really sharing my writings with anyone. And so I hope that it encouraged you, and I hope that you are blessed and that your week is blessed as well. And it's called Life. Every day of your life becomes a struggle when there is no direction. Emptiness destroying the soul within, asking, why face my tomorrows when still battling my yesterdays? Praying and standing on what faith you have left, hoping with every obstacle faced might somehow show restitution for the things you couldn't escape, entangled with purpose yet opposition. Feelings of curiosity, pieces of a puzzle, something is missing, yet beauty and mystery lies beneath. Believing in the miracle that something wonderful might happen with this life given, never chose. Believing in that old saying that it's never too late may very well be true. Now demanding into the heavens, release what is due. Then suddenly, you can look at something as simple and as innocent as a smile on the face of a newborn child. See the awesomeness of life, the simple reminder of the child that lies within, pure, untouched, completely without sin. Appreciating that God chose such a simple thing to draw you near so he can whisper words of comfort and confirmation in your ear that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and his purpose will speak in due season. And everything you went through, don't get it twisted, it was for a reason. So don't you fret and don't you dare worry for all you've gone through, even what you're going through right now. It is and will forever be for God's glory. It's just simply life.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. You are truly, truly amazing and so very gifted. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you for having me. And thank you for just opening up this opportunity for people to be encouraged. And thank you for all that you do.
Well, I am going to keep on doing what I do, and I know you will too, sis, and you stay blessed while you're at it. I'll look forward to staying in touch with you. I really will.
Oh, yes. I can't wait. Well, and to all the listeners, have a blessed and a beautiful day.
And listen, if I don't get to talk to you again before the month is over, Merry Christmas, and may the year that's upcoming be the best that you've ever had. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, too. And I wish you the same.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for listening in today. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show. And, you know, I always have a plot and a plan. I really do mean to bring you some inspiration and encouragement, and I know you had it in overdrive today. So I hope you're excited about that and that you will take everything that you heard and put it into practice, because practice will perfect it for you. Every day can seem a little bit better and a little bit better until it is really, really in a good place and space for you. So thank you so much for listening in today. And please share. You know, take a moment and share with your friends, because, you know, we are all in this together. Every opportunity that you have to be a blessing or uplift someone, we should do that just because we can. And this really makes it easy. I want to remind you about some things that I've got going on. So I've got a couple of books on Amazon, too. One of them is What is Faith? And it's just some helpful short stories and blurbs and stuff and things that will help you get through any given day. You know that we have the faith our way every day. So check that out. And then the newest book is Stay in the Ring, and that is my message to anybody and everybody who is even considering giving up on anything or life. Just keep fighting. Stay in the ring. It's, look, you know, I love my own work. What can I say? So go to Amazon. Look it up. Now, there may be some other people with some similar titles. Make sure you put in What is Faith by Silver Ray Fox, Stay in the Ring by Silver Ray Fox, because there have been a couple of people that, you know, tried to run away with that. So I think a couple of people got the wrong books, too. So be careful about that when you go to Amazon. Other thing is I have blogs. So one of them is Foxology. That's easy to remember because it's same as the show. I've got a ton of articles I've written for your faith building, for encouragement, for inspiration, for professional development, for positive thinking. All of that. I covered it all. So go there to silverfox.com. You're going to see a lot of stuff there that can offer you some personal and professional dynamics. And also I have a blog that's called Faith is How We Live, and that's on my Facebook page every day, almost every day, but the blog does have something every day, just little tidbits of things, again, just to help keep us uplifted, because we really do need it. So I hope you'll take a peek around there. And so, in the meantime, what am I doing next week? Who am I talking to next week? Not quite sure. I'll have to look at my calendar, but look, stay tuned, keep your eyes open, and keep watching. I promise you I'm always doing something that's going to bless you. So I look forward to talking to you again then. In the meantime, be good, be blessed, and be awesome.